The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And good morning. Thank you for joining me today. I'm Gary Randall. Today is Wednesday, April the 27th, 2022, in the year of our Lord. Today on April 27, 1994, former President Richard Nixon was remembered at an outdoor funeral service. That service was attended by all five of his successors at the Nixon Presidential Library in Yorba Linda, California. Today in 1521, Portuguese explorer Ferdinand Magellan, he was killed by natives in the Philippines. He and his crew and his ship, of course, were on their way to circumnavigate the globe. The ship continued. Magellan, of course, did not. Today in 1865, the steamer Sultana was carrying freed Union prisoners of war. War exploded on the Mississippi River near Memphis. The death toll was uncertain, but it varied between 1,500 and 2,000. Today in 1992, Russia and 12 other former Soviet republics won entry into the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. Today in 2019, a gunman opened fire inside a synagogue near San Diego. Worshippers were celebrating the last day of Passover. The guy killed a woman and wounded the rabbi and two others. John Ernst, he has been sentenced since then to both federal and state life prison terms. 10 years ago today, the space shuttle Enterprise was mounted atop a jumbo jet. It sailed over the New York City skyline on its final flight before becoming a museum piece aboard the USS Intrepid. Thank you for joining me this morning. It's always a pleasure. I look forward to our time together, as they say, on the radio. It's a time when we try to talk about the most important things in our culture. The most important thing always, though, is looking at the culture, looking at life in America and beyond from a biblical worldview. There's so much going on in our world today, it's hard to keep up with it. It's hard to understand it because a part of the overall, just the blanket of noise that we live in is deception. There's always deception. And you get to the point, if you're not perfectly careful about it, you could get a little cynical because it seems like sometimes nobody tells the truth. At least, maybe it's just me seeing that, but it just is so disappointing sometimes what we see in people that we think are otherwise and they're not. There's a big kind of a issue, and it's beginning to boil over in the Republican Party now. And I want to mention it just so you'll be aware of it today. I don't know if most of the listeners on this program are Republican or not. I don't know if I'm a Republican. I vote Republican. I suspect that would make me one. But I'm Republican as long as they stand for what I believe are biblical values and biblical principles. And I think many of you would agree with that. If that day comes when the Republican political party is not that, I probably will find another way to vote. And we have basically a two-party system in America, and I know there's a temptation to vote sometimes for, you know, other minority-type parties, but the possibility of someone from a party like that getting elected is very difficult, and I've really looked at that, and prayerfully so, over the years. But so when I say Republican, I don't mean like that's your commitment is rooted in Republicanism. I think our commitment as Christians is rooted in biblical truth and biblical values and principles, as our founders were so inclined when they created this country. So by that, that's what I mean. But there is a growing concern. There's a problem that's really boiling in the Republican Party, and it's about to hit the news. It's already out there somewhat, but it's about to hit the news, and I'll just give you a heads up, because I know some of you are involved in Republican Party in your area, in your district, and so on, because I've corresponded with some of you who are, and that's great, and I think we should all be involved, but we should also be informed. But House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, and I've always kind of thought he was a pretty good guy. I haven't really drilled into him too much, and I know he's had conflicts with other people in the party over time, and that happens. But there's some audios that have been released very recently, in fact, well, yesterday. And they're audio recordings of him criticizing Donald Trump pretty thoroughly. The reason I say this, not to say, well, this guy doesn't support Trump, but he made such a big deal out of supporting Trump. He always declared his loyalty politically to Donald Trump. And I'm working with Donald Trump and so on. And he appeared to be that. But these conversations show a very different Kevin McCarthy. And he's talking to some of his fellow Republican representatives in the wake of that January 6th that riot, as they call it. He promised members of the leadership team, including the House Minority Whip, this Steve Scalise, and he's been a little off-center from conservatives within the party as well. And Chairwoman Liz Cheney was in the room when McCarthy made these comments. She's all but abandoned anything to have to do with the Republican Party. She's, in fact, they've made her chairman. The Democrats have made her chairman as a Republican, supposedly, of this committee. But she was in the room as well. And understandably, McCarthy was trying to speak to them who are really hated Trump. I mean, they really did. And I understand that. But when he was called on that, McCarthy, just recently, he was called on, and they asked him, did you say these things in private? He said, no, I never said that. I never said that. Then two New York Times reporters, savoring the moment, they came out with this audio recording. It came out, it hit the public yesterday. And there's McCarthy on this recording and Scalise talking about how deeply concerned they are about social media posts and public comments that are coming from some of the members of the Republican conference. The two men specifically named Florida Representative Matt Gaetz and Colorado Representative Lauren Boebert and Alabama Representative Mo Brooks. And they mentioned some others, but they talk about them quite a bit. Well, they're very, very conservative, these people. And McCarthy says on this tape, he says he's putting people in jeopardy talking about Gaetz. Well, Gaetz is very conservative. And he doesn't need to be doing this, McCarthy says. McCarthy says, we saw that what people do in the Capitol, you know, and these people come prepared with rope and with everything else. It's potentially illegal what he's doing. Scalise is agreeing, saying yes, yes, on this tape. It's audio, it's not video, but it's clearly their voices. McCarthy adds that Mo Brooks' comments immediately preceding the riot were almost something that goes further than what the president even said. Tucker Carlson got a hold of this last night, and he was talking about it, and he was blasting McCarthy's criticisms, what he was pretending to be loyal to the president and to what the president was trying to do. And Tucker said last night, and he reaches a very large audience, as you know, he was saying that McCarthy is no better than the Democrats and their allies in the press. He said Donald Trump, the sitting president, had already been silenced by those companies. But McCarthy wanted the tech oligarchs to do more, to force disobedient lawmakers off the internet. Carlson said this on his program last night, quote, he's quoting McCarthy. He said, can't they take their Twitter accounts away too? Those are the pre-taped words of Congressman Kevin McCarthy. Now, a man who in private, turns out, he sounds like an MSNBC contributor. And yet, unless conservatives are aware of this, and we get our act together right away. Kevin McCarthy is going to become one of, he clearly is not in step with conservatives. He's going to become Speaker of the House in January. And it's kind of like, here we go again. Paul Ryan, now Kevin McCarthy. So that's something to be aware of. It's something to pray about. That would mean that we have a Republican Congress led by a puppet of the Democrat Party. It's the way Carlson, Tucker Carlson, explained it last night. He said, so you won't know of any of this list unless it's leaked, and you can start to see why the people in charge oppose transparency and fervently support censorship on both sides. He said, the more you know about them, the less satisfied you are likely to become with their leadership. He called Kevin McCarthy a rhino. And he said last night, Carlson, he said Jim Jordan or Matt Gaetz would make a much better potential Speaker of the House. Well, I would agree with that 100%. But that is boiling over, and the left is kind of gearing up. I can hear them revving their motors, and they're going to really try to expose this because the Democrats don't have much to offer going into this midterm election. The primaries are starting as we speak in various states, and it'll be a very important, in November, very important midterm election. And it looks like the Republicans are going to take control of the House and perhaps the Senate as well, and they will have then a lot of authority. We need the right leader in the House of Representatives. That person would be replacing Nancy Pelosi. So pray about that and be aware of it. Be informed, because you're going to be hearing a lot of versions of that, and a lot of it will be attached to it that isn't true. But the part that I've just shared with you is true, and there is some conflict there. So we'll see how all that works out. As I said, we live in confused times. No question about it. I was reading this morning in 2 Chronicles, and I started the first of chapter 7, and knowing what verse 14 was, I skipped down and read it. Let me just read it to you. Many of you know, we all know this verse, I'm sure, if we have any familiarity with the Bible. But 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Regardless of what we talk about on this program, I want you to know that there is a path to healing. And the path is what I just read. If my people, who are called by my name, believers, will humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, but also turn from our wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That is the path to national healing for America. It's not Kevin McCarthy. It's not Tucker Carlson. It's not President Trump or Joe Biden or whomever. The path to healing the land is before God, not man. But we must be informed, and that's why we do what we do on this program. We need your support. This program is totally funded and made possible on the air each morning by our listeners. So thank you for your support. Many of you support this program regularly. That's why we're on the air. We're able to be. I would encourage you to prayerfully consider, if you don't support the program but you listen and you feel it has value, I would encourage you to pray about becoming a supporter, standing with us. We need your help. To all of you who do support us, thank you. Each month, we need your help. Some months more than other months, but always, we need your help financially. You are the source of funding under God for this effort. So thank you so much. Our address is Box 399, Bellevue, Washington, 98009. Box 399, Bellevue, 98009. Many, many conservatives hope that Elon Musk, and he is an eccentric guy, to say the least. But we hope that he succeeds. But as much as Twitter needs freer speech, it also needs to tell the world precisely what it's been doing for the last few years. Not under Musk. He bought the thing. You know that. It's all over the place. $44 billion he bought it. I've never bought anything that costs that much, and I'm thinking maybe you haven't either. And if we did, we probably shouldn't have, huh? No, but it's a big deal, for sure. But I think this is a time, if Musk will seize the opportunity, I'm not suggesting I can tell him what he should do, but I'm simply putting this out there for your consideration and prayer. But I think that this would be a great time for him to really turn on the light and show the world what Twitter has been doing. As he looks forward, and he is looking forward, he needs to tell the world precisely what they've been doing the last few years. It doesn't involve him. He wasn't any part of it. But I think that we should conduct, or he should initiate, and conduct a full and comprehensive audit of all of the instances in which Twitter has suspended users. They have targeted Christians, biblical Christians, and conservatives. And they have overlooked some of the most egregious garbage on there and not taken them off. They took Trump off for life. That could change now. Trump said the other day, no, he's not going to go on there, but he supports what Musk is doing. But this is a big deal. I mean, it impacts what people think and what they're told and what they're not told. Social media, unfortunately, has become a voice that is second to none from a human perspective in our culture today, much more so than the news on television and on even on radio, and radio is growing in popularity. How many times have you heard that this or that person you might follow on Twitter, or you've heard about somebody, has been suspended for a day or warned or outright thrown off the platform, as Trump has been? And for what reason? And how do you even know that it's true what they're claiming is true? This Twitter suppression has been going on for the last several years. This would be a good time for Musk to say, let's turn on the light and see what's been happening in the past. I don't know that he will, but boy, I wish he would. This would be a good time. It would be a bit of a hot shower and a cleansing for the social media and for America itself, because we have been misled on so many fronts so many times, particularly by Jack Dorsey, who is one of the founders of Twitter, and he just stepped down recently, but he was at the helm most of the time. Mark Zuckerberg and these guys, I mean, they lie through their teeth, and everybody knows it. And yet, most of the world looks on social media for at least some, if not most, of their information. We know the famous, the most outrageous examples. While they were kicking Trump and others off the platform of Twitter, Babylon Bee made a declaration this last year. They were mocking. They're a website that kind of takes things that everybody knows are not true, and they make light of it. I mean, they make it as though it's true satirically, as comedy. They were kicked off because what they did was kind of not satirical. It was true, but they declared, as Newsweek declared, that this Rachel Levine was Woman of the Year this last year. This man who has declared to be a woman that the president, Biden, has lifted him to pretending to be her to this high office at HHS, I think assistant to the Secretary of HHS. And so Babylon Bee came out and declared that this transgender person, this Rachel Levine, was Man of the Year, because Rachel is a man. And he says he's now a woman and all that stuff that we go through. But we know that Twitter, what they did in the Hunter Biden laptop case, at the height of the 2020 presidential campaign, Twitter locked the account of a major newspaper, the New York Post, for publishing a story that was detailing these suspicious dealings, business dealings, of the Biden family. Twitter claimed that the Post was removing the story because, and blocking it, because it was based on a false premise. But it, we now know 2 years later that it wasn't. It was simply a ploy to keep the people in America from knowing what was on that laptop. The New York Post is a reputable, historic newspaper. It's the oldest continually functioning newspaper in America. And I've mentioned that before. But they knew what they were doing, and they blocked users from sharing the story. And they, again and again and again, they said this is false premise. And at one point, they got to where they were saying that this is Russian disinformation that Russia is putting out trying to help Donald Trump win the election. And on it went. It all now is out there 2 years later after the election. And everybody knows what they should have known before the election. I think it's 20-some percent of people, 22, 28%, I read here a while back, said if they didn't know what they know now about the laptop, they would not have voted for Biden. These are people that did vote for Joe Biden, mostly independents, but some Democrats. They said if they didn't know what was really going on in the corruption in this family regarding their relationships with Russia and China and Ukraine and elsewhere, where millions of dollars have been flowing to the Biden family, they would have never, ever voted for him. And that was exactly the point. So all of this is happening in our world today. This, while Democrat lawmakers and so-called progressive activists are now in meltdown over this new owner of Twitter, Musk. Speculation about what Musk will and won't do on social media platform is blowing across the nation like a July prairie fire. I mean, it's just burning everywhere. These people are in. People were crying on the air on CNN. They were weeping and saying democracy is over because this guy, this Elon Musk, who's part black, he's multiracial. They're calling him a white supremacist. They don't even do their homework. They don't even know that he's partially black. He doesn't look black, but he is. And he's not a white supremacist. I mean, he's just a guy that's made a bunch of money and very eccentric and unpredictable often. But they're just turning on him because they don't like what they think he's going to do, because they think he's going to do what he says. He's going to open it up and put a little sunlight on this social media platform. The silent ones is set by, while Twitter silenced from Donald Trump across the boards, anybody conservative. They said nothing. Now they're in panic and they're going to look into this. And some of the Democrat senators and representatives are saying, we're going to look into this. We're going to get to the bottom of it. We're going to see what's really going on here. And all of this is harmful to democracy. I've read that phrase at least three or four times. Translated, that means things that don't align with the radical far left agenda are harmful because of the way you define democracy. But a quick look at what lawmakers are on the left are saying is very revealing, and I wanted to just spend a couple of minutes on that this morning. Musk has already said several times free speech is the bedrock of a functioning democracy. What's wrong with that? Why should he be investigated over that? The left wants our democracy apparently to continue to be dysfunctional, because people who disagree with the leftist agenda will also now be posting on Twitter. I mean, is that make our democracy dysfunctional? I mean, you tell me. Of course it doesn't. What about equity? What about inclusion? Well, that only matters when it advances the progressive or the left agenda. He's also said, Musk, Twitter is a digital town square where matters vital to the future of humanity are debated. Well, progressive principles cannot be debated because there are no fixed progressive principles. If you have noticed, I mean, I've even back when I was a youth pastor, I would debate these guys. They carried these little books around all the time back in the day when I was a youth pastor, this Mao and you know, Mao Zedong. And they were always quoting him, and they'd open it like a little Bible. And I would, you know, present the biblical case, and we'd have these back and forths on campuses, especially college campuses, and all of this going on. Well, you can't debate a progressive because what's true at the moment isn't true in the next moment, because truth evolves and truth is not fixed. That's their escape hatch, so they can tell you anything is true, even if it isn't, And then in the next moment or the next day or whatever, say, oh, well, that's not true. Well, my truth, it's evolving. It's not fixed. And that's why it's very difficult to have a debate with a progressive, because their beliefs are ever changing. They don't know what they believe in the next moment or two or three. So while these folks silently watch social media allow and disallow use of their social media platforms, now all of a sudden they're deeply concerned about it. It's very, very, very hypocritical. Senator Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts, she used Musk's purchase to promote her proposal. She said, well, I've been trying to tax the wealthy and create legislation, she was saying yesterday, regulating big tech. All of a sudden, these guys want to regulate big tech. Well, the Hill jumped on this. They're kind of a left-leaning news organization, but they're widely read. They said yesterday, Musk purchasing Twitter is dangerous for our democracy. It is a reminder of why we need a wealth tax and why we need some serious regulation for big tech. They're quoting Elizabeth Warren. They continue to quote her. One billionaire should not be able to turn the world upside down just because he plays by a different set of rules. This woman lived as a Native American half her life. She's a white-faced Oklahoman who, as it turns out, she has no Indian blood in her. I mean, after taking a test here a couple of years ago, but she lived half of her life in the fantasy that she was a Native American. She ran around telling everybody that. She got jobs. She got a professorship at Harvard because of her Indian or indigenous bloodline, which doesn't exist. She says she wants to fix the world that's been turned upside down. Well, my dear Elizabeth, the world is already upside down because of the efforts of the left and the progressive, so-called progressive agenda. So this goes on and on and on. You're going to be hearing this day in and day out in the days to come. The Hill said Musk's takeover of Twitter raises questions about what it means for his settlement with Securities and Exchange Commission. They're going to be attacking him because they disagree with him. And that's the world we live in. That's why we need to be informed. Why is Mark Zuckerberg not equally troubling to these people? Nobody's concerned about Mark because he's still kicking off the people with whom they disagree. And this will continue. Founding Father Benjamin Franklin said, if those wretched countries where a man cannot call his tongue his own, he can scarce call anything his own. Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freeness of speech, a thing terrible to public traitors. So true. It was true then, true now. I'll see you tomorrow.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.